flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to chop the weeds. Thanks to our sponsors at Manscaped, you can trim those holes safely and efficiently. I'm talking about ball trimmers, y'all. Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, have an exclusive offer for the Thomas Island audience. If you use our code, TAMA, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Join the 2 million men who trust Manscaped. They're here to make sure your balls are trimmed and smelling nice. After all, it's time for some spring cleaning. Manscaped has all the tools to get you spring ready. Have you heard about the Weed Whacker? It's a nose and ear hair trimmer that provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. There's no more gross nose hairs flying off into the wind. Plus, the premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor and a 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Manscaped is making it easier than ever to whack your weeds and also to make sure that you have the most confidence while also providing hygiene. Speaking of incredible hygiene, Manscaped has formulations to keep you fresh and ready for everything that comes your way all day. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is crucial for your balls to stop sticking to your leg. I use it. It's great, especially as the summertime gets swampier. If you go to manscaped.com right now and use the code TAMA, you'll get 20% off and free shipping. That's right, use the code TAMA for free shipping and 20% off at manscaped.com. Manscaped, shave your balls.
Guys, if you've enjoyed listening to Thomas Island Podcast, there's more for you at the patreon.com/Thomas Island.
That's right, Tama. If you've been having a good time on the island, you want to find a way to get more involved, you want to maybe ask some questions, maybe you want to hang out with Tama himself, head on over to patreon.com/Thomas Island. We have an exclusive Facebook page where you're able to ask questions, you're able to talk about what's happening in New Japan, what's happening in the world, what's happening with Tama. We've got bonus episodes if you want to see every episode of Thomas Island, not only early, but in bright video where you can see what Tama's wearing, you can see what I'm wearing, you can find out who's having a bad hair day. Head over to patreon.com/Thomas Island. If you get the Islander tier, we have a happy hour every week on Zoom at both 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. They're always a fun time. And starting in August, for 1 week a month, we are going to pick a subject suggested by a Patreon subscriber. So if you head over to patreon.com/Thomas Island, you're going to be able to suggest a topic. You're going to be able to ask some questions. You're going to be able to have a good time. So please head on over there, subscribe, and hang out.
patreon.com/Thomas Island.
All right, guys, thank you very much for joining us again here on Thomas Island Podcast. I am your host, Thomas and Tonga. We're probably going to bleep up the but we'll see how it goes. We'll call it. And then we got my sidekick, my man. He's not my sidekick, man. He's my dude, man. I don't like saying sidekick.
I'll take it.
Ross Berman here with us, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Chicago. I'm just getting done with a weekend of New Japan action. Y'all brought some fire to Jingu Stadium on Saturday.
Fire. Yeah, man, give me a rundown. I didn't watch it. I'm just okay. Kidding. I did, but go ahead.
No, I'll give a rundown for those who didn't get a chance to see it. Yoshinobu Kanemaru was able to defeat Master Wato. Toru Yano is now the king of pro wrestling after a low blow and a roll up on none other than Kazuchika Okada. Let's see what else happened.
That's some baby back bullshit right there. It left kinda hell.
Entirely possible it was Okada's shortest match ever in New Japan, period. Under 10 minutes, lost to a Yano roll-up and low blow. But yeah, king of pro wrestling, our first king of pro wrestling is Toru Yano. Minoru Suzuki, speaking of kings, is now the never open weight champion.
I bet against him, man. You remember that? I bet against Suzuki, and I thought Shingo was coming. He's been showing real strong stuff here lately, and he failed me. But I mean, what do you expect from LIJ members, you know?
He fought hard. He fought hard. he really put up a big fight, but let's face it, Suzuki is Suzuki. And so this was definitely not Shingo's night, but it was Bullet Club's night, because your boy Taiji Ishimori is now the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion after ripping and tearing at Hiromu Takahashi's shoulder. He submitted him in under 15 minutes. It was a hell of a match. He looked vicious. He looked jacked. He was. What do you think of your Bone Soldier now? The champ once again.
Oh hell, mother freaking yeah, man! I mean, that's why we brought him into Bullet Club, because you know he'd perform, he'd come through. Mm-hmm. I remember I put out someone on Facebook. I didn't think that he could get more jacked, and I found myself. I was like, I had to show my wife. I said, look at this dude's abs. It's popping out further than his chest. I couldn't. Yep. I was like, man, I've never seen abs like that. And I'm still, I'm ride with him all the way, man. Because he's a soldier, bro. Bone soldier. He's straight through. And anyways, but besides, we already know that he's very capable of bringing out killer matches, man. He's a very talented individual. And my goodness, what a match. I'm glad. I'm glad he's our champ now, man. Props to him. Ishimori, props to you, brother.
Yeah, and you're not wrong. Quarantine's been very good to him. He came back from the hiatus, jacked as hell, and then he just kept working out on the road to Jingu. He showed up to that show in a mm-hmm. shape that very few men have ever been in. Let's face it. There are very few people with Taiji Ishimori's physique. But in one case, while Ishimori was getting some victories for Bullet Club, your boy Evil was not able to get the job done. Despite interference from Gato, Jado, Yujiro, all those, Naito had LIJ on his side for once. He had Sonata. He had Bushi. He was able to take back the IWGP double belts. And so Naito is once again the double champion. What do you think of Evil getting dethroned so quickly?
Oh, man. I was wrong. I was for Evil, mm-hmm. and I lost that bet. And I just thought he would have it, man. I thought he came out. He's been showing some different sides of himself. I thought he was going to come out strong. Mm-hmm. But I was wrong. And I gotta go back and regroup on my thoughts with Evil, man. Mm-hmm. But hey, nonetheless, though, still a great pickup for Bullet Club. I think there's a lot more that we can do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's still Evil at the end of the day. If he can't be
still Evil.
Yeah, like if he can't be double champ, let's face it. The man has won tag league. The man has done some great stuff in the G1. He's no small addition even without those double belts. But that's right. It was a hell of an event in Jingu. We've got the New Japan Road shows coming up in September on the road to the G1 climax that will begin in the middle of September, I believe on the 19th.
19th, right? Yeah. I think. Woo! Yeah. Who you thinking? Did you see that Japan has opened up their borders? That
yes.
You can fly in.
Ooh, yes. So. They're starting to open their borders to places like. Not the U.S. yet. Still some places in North America that aren't going to be open yet. But the borders in Japan are opening. It's entirely possible we might be able to see Fale there sometimes. Yes. Like, I don't want to put a time frame on when we might see people there. Uh-huh. But as the borders open, places like New Zealand, places like
England is England on that?
England, I think they've gotten their cases down. I think England might be there at some point, but it's definitely looking like we'll be able to see some international fans make their way back to New Japan by January.
I don't know if you've been keeping up with his social media, but Will Ospreay, you've been keeping up with him? He's been putting on some major weight.
He's
moving
on
up to heavyweight, huh?
Because he had already been putting on the weight for last year because he wanted to start doing the heavyweight thing. And then, once it seemed quarantine hit, he was kind of like you were, where you would start to see these videos from time to time where he's working out and he's starting to get bigger. But, Will Ospreay is starting to look like a different guy.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to be doing that flippity shit. Yeah,
it's a good.
I
want to
see power move Will Ospreay. That's what I want to see.
Body slam slow, Will Ospreay.
Yeah. slow it down Will Ospreay. That's the Will Ospreay I want to see. If you're gonna come up to heavyweight. I want to see that kind of Will Ospreay.
If he comes to the G1 throwing lariats and axe handles, I'm gonna be a very happy man.
Axe handles, though. The old heavyweight move right there. You can never go away from that old school move right there.
But it seems like Japan's finally getting getting back to normal in the wrestling world. You've over here in the States, you got New Japan Strong has been, for lack of a better word, running strong, and your family's been making a bit of an impact on there. Hikuleo show we up. Taking out Brody King, like showing up like you do in prison, throwing down one of the biggest men in the yard.
You find the biggest dude in there and you slap him around, make sure everybody sees it. You got to do it in front of everybody, you know?
It's looking like the two of them are going to face off somewhere down the road. It's New Japan Strong's really, really kicking off. How are you guys enjoying kind of having this new space to create and like tell stories?
It's cool. It's very cool. And it's right now, it's just a nice relief just to get out and work again, go out and wrestling. And though, you know, there's still some guidelines that we got to follow out there in Cali. It's been real nice, man. I get to see new talent. We've been having new guys come in that's been working the indies, some from ROH, some from all around, and just working with them, get a feel for guys outside of our company, different styles, and that has been refreshing, especially now that I haven't wrestled in like 5 months. It's just
I was gonna say because you're coming back not only from a hiatus, but you're also doing singles work now, which is you know, you were not doing a lot of singles matches over the past couple years before the hiatus, and so now you're kind of learning a new style.
About 4 to 5 years I went solid tag, and this year I'm pushing to try out that singles venture, and we'll see how it goes. You know, I did a interview with Sports Illustrated, and I put it out there. I'm gonna try. You know, some people think I need to prove myself. Maybe I do. Here we go. You know, let's go at it. And I'm all about that. I think it's we talk about it on Thomas Island. On patreon.com/Thomas Island plug. You know, we talk about it a lot, that for growth in this industry, that you got to keep pushing yourself. And I think I've accomplished the tag team realm. And, you know, we're 6-time IWGP heavyweight tag team champions. And all right, I think we can put that on the back burner now, and let me see what I can do as a singles competitor. So, and there's a lot of belts there. But, you know, the only belt I want is the number one belt. Because if you're not first, you're last. All right, cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you know, took us off the path there for a minute. But it's good to be back. It's good to be back working. New Japan Strong is something that is a new venture that New Japan is pushing. It's an idea. And I think it's really caught on with a lot of fans. And we've been getting great feedback from the fans, and we're gonna keep going. See what we can do. You never know.
It's got a very I have like one last question before we jump into the topic, because we got a big big topic this week that we want to get into. But there's this kind of DIY aesthetic to New Japan Strong, because like you don't have, like you said, you don't have the belts there, you don't have the heavyweights or all that. So this Kenta's red briefcase for the IWGP United States Championship shot, that feels like the top title in New Japan Strong. You've got these commercials with some of the young lions doing sponges. How is there kind of like this freedom to New Japan Strong simply because it's just all of you guys in the dojo kind of coming up with whatever stories or whatever kind of stuff you can tell there? Has it kind of opened people's minds, or how have you been reacting to that?
There's half and half. There's just a little everything. And it kind of reminds me of my time first entering New Japan in Japan. So there's this newness, and you're learning the system, right? And you're learning everybody, and you're trying to get a flow going here and it's already a set system, right? But when we're starting this New Japan Strong, we got our core guys from Japan, which is me, Jay White, Finley, guys that came out through the dojo, Hikuleo, that already understand the core, the system, the structure. So we're just bringing that here, and then adding the flavors of all the independent guys. And then we're going to figure out how, okay, the structure's here already. Mm-hmm. All right. There is a goal. I feel like it's a recruitment or, you know what we talked about for the creating the, wrestling 2.0. Mm-hmm. It's like a Columbine, you know,
a combine, where, combine,
combine, yeah. not Columbine. Sorry. Oh, that is the wrong place. Oh, okay. Combine. And we're keeping an eye out for guys that we're bringing in, kind of see what they're about and what their capabilities. And, you know, somebody had asked me, I was on somebody's podcast recently, and they asked me if anybody has caught my eye at these shows. And I said, no, but I'm not going to ever tell you that somebody's caught my eye, you know, but definitely there's guys there that are good. And I'm like, okay, these are, you know, up and comers, young guys, and they're pushing it. And you can see the guys that are working hard and the guys, but I think anybody who's coming to do those kind of shows is really trying to be seen. And, and it's been great. What the hell were we talking about, bro?
We were getting caught up.
Chit-chat.
Yeah. We were just getting caught up on the weekend. Cause it's been, we're finally at the point, like when we started this, nothing was happening. New Japan was shut down. You were at home. Yeah. I was at home. Now the wrestling world is starting to return. We have stuff to talk about again. Mm-hmm. And especially with what you guys are doing over in New Japan Strong, it's a unique situation. It's like you said, it's a way to bring the system over to America and to really drill it in, because like a lot of these guys that are being showcased, your Benjamin Carters, your Alex Zanes, your Blake Christians, they're guys who you've seen them on the independents, but now they're finally, they're getting this. It's like you said, it's a combine. It's a showcase. Yeah. It feels like you get to see the auditions for the dojo for the first time. And it's very, you know, guys like Russ Taylor, I think, are really benefiting from that. But since we're talking about the system and the dojo system, today's topic is kind of along there, because it's about a Japanese tradition. It's about a Japanese system, a way of doing things over in Japan. We're going to talk after the break about sponsors.
That's right. Sponsors, my experience, my perspective, what I think of it. And we'll get into that. We're going to dive deep into that. Okay. We'll be right back after these messages.
We are truly living in unprecedented times. In more than 50 countries and more than 30 states, there are currently mandates requiring face coverings whenever you leave the house. While we're all trying to remain safe and keep those around us safe, we should also attempt to remain stylish. Remember, we have Tama Tonga double-layered face masks available for a very limited time at cutt.ly/TamaMask. These washable masks come in a set of three, so you can change up your look with what you're wearing every single day. Different shirt, different mask. Rep your favorite wrestler and mask up properly. Remember, we've got less than 20 sets available, so head to cutt.ly/TamaMask. That's TamaMask, one word, all undercase, right now.
All right, guys, we're back, and we brought in one of the other sidekicks. I'm just kidding. Hey, we got Steve K, man. If you guys know what we've been doing here, Steve K has been a big part of everything that's been going on with Thomas Island, with the block parties and everything. And this was actually his idea, the subject here, the sponsors. And it's actually how we met.
Yeah, man. That is the case. I just want to thank you guys for having me wait in the green room for 15 minutes. I was expecting five, but you guys just went everywhere.
Oh, Steve K comes in as a guest and bitches. What the hell? Shut the hell up.
All right. No,
I'm kidding, man. No, yeah, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know.
Well, no, we love busting each other's balls here.
Every day. Like Thomas said, we got introduced through Machine Gun, Carl Anderson, and I was coming out to Japan for Wrestle Kingdom a few years ago. And
all right, hold on. Yep. I don't feel like you're doing justice telling the story. I'm going to tell the story. All right. So I'm in Japan, and Machine Gun calls me up. He goes, hey, dude, I got one of my boys coming out there, man. You think you can look after him, man? I said, yeah, no problem, man. Just give me his digits. Give me his contact. And I text him, and he's like, yeah. I text Steve, and I was like, hey, yo, this is me. This is who I am. I'm pretty badass. I'm pretty famous out here. You go ahead and come.
It's actually what the text said. It was like, hey, no. I'm a pretty big deal around here.
All right. Hang out with me, kid. All right. Let me show you around.
But you're even underselling that, because you tell me, meet me at the Tokyo Dome in the lobby. So I get to the lobby and there's fans all around. This is two nights before Wrestle Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen this before, but you just see Thomas coming straight into the lobby and there's fans everywhere and he's just moving everybody out of the way. He's like, car's waiting. Get in there. No hellos. We've never met before. No. Car's outside. Let's go.
Hi, by the way. Hi. Yeah.
So we got introduced at the dinner, and this was a total culture shock to me because I didn't know anything about this world. And we were kind of going through topics for this week, and I figured, just like it was very new to me, I'd love to talk about the whole concept of the sponsor and the role in Japanese wrestling. So that's kind of why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very cool. Sponsors, I'll just go back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of guys that took care of me when I first got to Japan. It's like, when you go out, sponsor, hold on. I'm jumping all over the place.
It's all good.
Let's start somewhere.
Let's start right at the beginning. How were you introduced to the world of sponsors?
After a tour, or one of the like Uno, the referee, he took me. He's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And I said, he'll come with me. And I said, okay, cool. I'll take you out to dinner. And I just thought, he's going to take me and he's going to pay for my dinner and stuff. But we get there and it was a room, it was a sponsor and like a whole bunch of people. There might've been like 20 or 25, 30 people in there. And I get in, I'm like, oh, this is a party. Oh, okay. But it wasn't, it was just, there was like a couple other wrestlers in there. I'm a young boy. There was Babyface. I think Makabe was in there. Goto, all the baby faces, man.
Okay.
But the like sponsors, they do a lot, man. The one that Uno had me at was, he just invited a whole bunch of fans over and asked Uno, hey, bring some wrestlers, come join us for party and we just hang out, and all the drinks is paid for, all the food is paid for, and we just sit and talk, and talk to the sponsor, and just kind of rotate around talking to people. And like, there's all types of sponsors. Some are male sponsors, some are family sponsors. Like him and his family, his wife and kids come in, and some are just women sponsors, older women. That the only one, I've only had one woman sponsor, and she was like, she owned like a chain of like restaurants.
Oh, wow. Know?
Yeah. So,
okay.
They got a lot of money. And they come and splurge and take care of us in that way. But
I feel like that's an important distinction, because I think especially with a lot of American fans, they hear sponsor, they think, oh, it's like some guy from Toro Tires comes in and it's that's the sponsorship. Yeah. I think we're used to thinking of this is more of a personal sponsorship. It's a fan's literally paying for the drinks, the food, whatever of a wrestler. And it's not like a marriage, but it's a commitment. Like ultimately sponsors, and wrestlers build a rapport. They build a relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, you had a female sponsor that owned a series of restaurants. Go deeper into how the kind of sponsors will find wrestlers, or how wrestlers will find sponsors.
Usually sponsors like go through the chain, like Uno's is the referee, right? They'll find like a coworker, be like, hey, can you get me in touch with the referee or somebody that's working with any way to kind of find your way up to the wrestlers,
Gotcha.
And Uno really has the connection to all of us. He has contact to all of us. Uno and a lot of wrestlers have their own sponsors. Tanahashi has a ton of sponsors. And at the beginning, it's when you're a young boy, you don't have a lot of money, you know? So dinners at night was like, hell yeah, you know, this is great. They're paying my food. I'm gonna get drunk, paying all my alcohol. We have fun. Everybody's having a good time. And so it helps you out a lot, especially when you're on the road during tours. So during tours, we're at a city for like a night or two and we get a sponsor. You don't have to pay for dinner. You know, you've got your dinner handled. And the only bad thing is that when you get wasted, drunk, you got to work the next day, you know, and you're trying to wrestle, you know, and that there were many, many nights like that. Many. But I had, luckily I had Machine Gun Carl Anderson as my, he's been there for like, you know, a few years ahead of me. So I kind of, you know, everybody knows that he was kind of like my, he was my,
Your senpai. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would go under him and he would bring me along and some of his sponsors. He was over, he was like the tag champs with Tenzai. And so they had a lot of sponsors. The more over you are, if you got a belt, if you are a champion, the better taken care of you are, the more sponsors you have, you know? So, so you know, I would get invited with Carl Anderson. He would take us. He's the one who had the woman sponsor and I just tagged along.
Okay.
And, you know, and that's just like business people. The woman sponsor, she would bring in Uno and then Uno will bring Carl and then Carl will bring me. So there's like this chain effect of, you know, of who you're connected to. And so we go out and sit and eat, and some nights with the sponsors at the beginning, some nights can last like maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Other nights it could last up till like 6, 7, 8 in the morning. Oof. And that depends on how much fun everybody's having. So
that was going to be my next question, is how does that dichotomy come from? Where does that sort of, it's literally just if they brought you to the right place and the right times flow and it'll go to 8 a.m. and sometimes it'll just go.
Yeah. Whatever city you're in, and it depends on the kind of sponsor you have. Like if we have a single rich sponsor guy, you can expect a long night because he wants to hang out.
Gotcha.
But if you got a family man, okay, you're going to cut it quick. All right. And so it just depends. But the beginning's real fun. You're young. Everything is an experience. You're like, holy cow, this is what they do. Some night, especially when you're a young boy, they give you money. So after you eat with them, you eat all the food, free food, drink all the free alcohol. They'll be like, hey, man. And if it was a really enjoyable night for the sponsor and he's feeling really nice, he'll give you money. And sometimes you'll leave out of there with like $500 in your pocket.
Damn. You know? that's not a bad hustle, man. That's
all I gotta do is eat this food and you're gonna pay me.
Right, that's what we said, you know. And the more fun you have, the better it is your chances of getting money at the end, you know. I remember we had this Maccabi used to take us when I was a young boy, and we used to be in Osaka and he used to take us to the sponsor. And he was this old dude, and he was a real pro wrestling fan, man, for a very long time. And I'm like, man, what does it, you know, we'd stay out till probably like, we'd start dinner at 7 p.m. and we wouldn't end till 3 a.m. And we'd go hard, drink, and then we eat at one place, then get up. After we're done with that, we go eat at another place. And then finish that and then get up and go eat at another place. And then when we're done with that, we'll go have drinks at another place. And then after those drinks, we'll cap it with a dessert at another spot. So it was a bar hop.
You're pub crawling your way across Tokyo. Yeah.
So that's how we would do that. Wow. And we do it my first 3 years there. I was happy. I didn't care. I was having the time of my life being with the sponsor. And I'm like, and got to a point where I was like, what the hell does he do? Because he didn't speak English at all. And Maccabi was the one sometimes translating with his little English. But we didn't care. As long as we drank, the sponsor was happy. We find out later, this dude was, he was a Yakuza mob boss.
Okay.
Right. So I'm like, oh man. And he's passed away now. Okay. But he was the nicest dude. Mm-hmm. And just the way he handled himself, now I'm like, so that's how mob bosses handle themselves. Mm-hmm. Okay, I see it now, you know. But he was super cool. He would bring, whenever we came, he'd bring us, Maccabi bring all of us wrestlers. And then he, the sponsor would bring, like, this, I remember this dude, his name was Johnny, he used to call him Johnny Fuck Fever. He was a DJ. he was a semi DJ on his off days, you know. But he was married to a Japanese girl that was friends with his mob boss. So he would bring them along just to be with us, you know, and mm-hmm. hang out. And that was the only dude we spoke English to. But he was crazy, and he was the one that told us later on. He goes, "Yeah, he's a mob boss, dude." Yeah.
So you didn't question it to anybody publicly on. You waited for someone to tell you. You just, you know, I mm-hmm. got a good thing going.
I didn't give a fuck. Yeah. He was paying for my food. He was paying for all my drinks. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna question nothing. All right, that's why well, question the hand that feeds you? No,
it goes into my next question because is there like an etiquette with sponsors or is it
yes?
Is there a general etiquette or is it sponsor by sponsor?
Both. There's both. Okay. Because you still got to be proper in the Japanese culture. There's mm-hmm. ways to act, you know, gotcha. How to behave, but there's and still be polite and respectful, you know. Mm-hmm. And so with that mob boss, he was just anybody, your elders, you just respect that. You respect mm-hmm. them and you're not trying to like stand on a table and party and shit, you of know, course. That type of style. But we minded our business. We did our thing. We party. We drink. Mm-hmm. He would take us to this. He had a Mexican restaurant that he would take us to all the time, and he would have the what are they called? The ones that they come out and play the guitar. What they call
mariachi. The mariachi?
Mariachi, right? Japanese mariachi that looks like Mexicans come out and play their guitar and they're singing, and then they. You know, and that was every night we were them. Wow. We'd end up at that Mexican spot and mm-hmm. he'd bring in the mariachi and they play and the mariachi ain't nobody in the restaurant, guys. Nobody's in the restaurant. I don't know if they kicked everybody out mm-hmm. or they just, I just don't know. Nobody ate there. I don't know, but the food was great. And every time we were there, the place was empty for this guy. So mm-hmm. I have to think that they did it for this guy, you know? So they come out. Sometimes they were happy singing it. Sometimes you could tell they were having a bad day singing it. Oh, no. They didn't want to be there. But one of the songs they sing, man, I knew it went a little something like this. It goes, ay, 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 canta, no llores, porque cantando se arreglan cielito lindo los corazones. And I only knew this, and I'm not even sure if I said any of the words right, but I just knew how the flow went because yep. I took Spanish in high school. So they sing that, and I'm like, hell yeah. So after about like five times of going with him to this Mexican restaurant, they're singing it. I'm like, I do know this song. So I get up and start singing with him, right? I'm singing with them. I grab like this table salt. The salt was in the Corona bottle, you know, and I start singing. I'm making a fool out of myself. This is where I step out of line. Ooh. And the underboss, he loved it. He was clapping. And as soon as I was done, I was like, cool. And I went to sit down. He goes, again. I was like, oh, shit. So we sing it again. And then I sing it again. And then I sing it again. And I'm like, oh no, what did I do? I opened up the floodgates because now every time I went to the Mexican restaurant, man, I had to go up there and sing with them every single time, about 3-4 times a night, whenever we needed a pickup.
And I just have to clarify, when you say underboss, you're not talking Fale, you're talking like underboss.
I'm only saying that. Yeah, I'm
only, yeah, you're, yeah, I'm you're only talking an actual underboss, which is which you do not. Once they tell you to do something, you got to do it.
You got to do it, man. Yep. You got to do it. Oh, yeah. So that was one experience with that. Now, you know, but the kindest dude, he was super kind to us. You know, he was super nice. And He always took care of us every time we came into the city of Osaka.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that was now, that was 2000, from 2010 to about 2013. And in that time I was a baby face, and it was all baby faces. And that,
okay.
Like when you do sponsors, it's all baby faces. You can't have a heel. Heel have their own heel sponsors. You cannot mix. They're very stern about that in Japan. Heels stay with heels. Baby faces stay with baby faces, man. Okay. And you don't ever mix, ever.
Yeah, because that was literally going to be my next question, was about how they kind of keep those lines. Because, like, I mean, you see, hell, Japan still does the separate entrances sometimes. I mean, yes. It's very, you know.
Yes.
They got to keep that. They got to keep that in line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Good times, man. Machine Gun, when I came in, man, Machine Gun had a few sponsors. There was one down in the south. His name was Oda-san. He owned sweets. Sweets, like they make cakes and those. What's the word of these things? They're like two cookies that they put together.
Macaroon.
Yeah,
nice.
Macaroon. He had that. He had a business there in Japan. He had a business out in the Philippines and Thailand. He had the whole works, man. And every time we come down to the south of Japan, he'd have us. And I used to beg Machine Gun, come on, bro, take me with you, man. Please, dude. And he's like, all right, come on. And you know, that's how broke I was back then. I anything to get a free food, free anything. You know, we were getting paid a lot. And any foreigner that came in to do tours, if they're do tours at that time, you bring him along, because to get a taste of Japan, you're not gonna get a taste of Japan on the money that we got. You're gonna get convenience food, 7-Eleven food, and eat off that. But to get the good shit, like the shit, I don't even treat myself like that out here in America. All right, I'd rather somebody else spend that kind of money. So in Japan, those guys, you get the taste of the good A+, the 5-star restaurants and all that. And that's my only experience in those types of restaurants, is with sponsors, man. That's it. One, I can't afford it. Two, I wouldn't know nothing about it. I don't know where to find those. You know, Google Maps can only show you so much, man. All right, that's it.
And especially like as dense as Japan is, like it's not like around here. I throw up a Google search, there's going to be three places on the block. In Japan, there's going to be a dozen. It's just
Oh yeah, I I've learned to mark my favorites on Google Maps. Whenever I visit a spot, I save it. I'm like, this is the spot. Whenever you come back to this area, look me up. That's the spot to go. You know, it's cheap, it's good. get me going. But yeah, the Machine Gun used to, this guy named Oda, he used to bring us out, and he still does. It's been like 10 years, and he still has us coming with him every time we come down to the city. And we'd party, and he's a guy that the sponsor nights can either last till 6 a.m. or it can last only an hour, yep. You know, or two.
And he's a 6 a.m. guy.
Yeah, he's a 6 a.m. guy. We've gone to the point we go with him and all night and wouldn't finish. So our bus, we leave hotel at 7 a.m. We wouldn't finish. We'd pack our bags up before we go eat, because we knew there's a chance that we might stay out all night, and then by the time we're done, we come in, just pick up our bags and put in a bus and get on a bus and go to the next city. Yep. And he's that guy, man. We don't gamble with that, you know. We pack our stuff, we get ourselves ready, because he'll go all night, man. I'm not even sure if he's married or not. If he's married, damn. You know.
Because you said you've had Oda's been kind of like a loyal sponsor for like 10 years, but also that the sponsors will keep within babyface and heel lines. Do sponsors shift depending on how the wrestlers are, or are they just like the babyface sponsors are the babyface sponsors and the heel sponsors the heel sponsors?
Sometimes the sponsors run a babyface and a heel at the same time. It might be in the same restaurant, but they have to be at one side of that restaurant and the heels at the other, you know, at the other side. Yeah, and then the sponsor just floating back and forth, just saying hello to everybody.
And basically being the party host.
Yeah, yeah, being the part. That's it. That's it, man.
That's some A-list shit right there to be like, oh, no, yeah, I got the good guys over there. I got the bad guys over there, and I can go wherever I want.
Yeah.
That's Switzerland stuff.
That's unbelievable.
Well, yeah.
Let me ask you.
No, go ahead.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned a few times that, you know, they pay for the meal. And you hang out with them. But there's obviously a trade-off. And I do want to get into, like, the sponsor that you introduced me to in a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there's obviously a big trade-off there.
Yeah.
You know, that's a kind of like a family kind of thing in the
yeah.
But what do you think or is what people really – sponsors really get out of these things, apart from just, like, hanging with the wrestlers?
Through my experience, that's – The way I see it is just they hang out with wrestlers, guys that are on TV, guys that are stars, that are doing something that's just that's unreachable to them, you know, to be with those guys. The other one that you're talking about, you know, that's the family sponsor, and that's the family that you're talking about. Their family name is Senda-san family. And that's Bullet Club family sponsor through and through. They're the ones that you came in and I brought you in with them.
Yeah.
And there's probably two or three sponsors that I'm really, really tight with. And they are at the top of the list. They go above and beyond. We've gotten to know them so much that they have become family. When we go to Japan, they look after us. They take care of us. They sometimes when we go on tours, while the wrestlers are staying in one hotel, they'll take us and put us in a better hotel. we'll go stay at a 5-star class hotel, and then he'll take us to eat at a 5-star restaurant, and he'll take care of us. I think it's how you treat them, and we look at them now. The way he got to us. Was so the foreigners, you got to understand there's a lot of barriers. You see a lot of things going on in America with race and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, Japan is great and they're great people, they're polite, but there's still a little like when they say gaijin means outsider, and there's a little thing that goes with that. You're an outside man, you're not one of us type. Mm-hmm. So there's still kind of a you're a gaijin type, you know, so there's some unequalness. You know, that get treated. So at the very beginning, I think the only way a lot of foreigners will get sponsors is if a Japanese wrestler invited us with them. You know, we weren't connected like that. Mm-hmm. But over the years, we've gotten to know all the sponsors and we've made, we've opened up that door. We've become friends. We're friends on Facebook. So now, we've gotten some of the sponsors invite the foreign wrestlers, the ones that have been there, like Carl Anderson, myself, Fale, and then we get to bring in Japanese wrestlers. So it kind of turned around, but it's still love, you know. Mm-hmm. But the way that Senda-san came in, we were all broke, man. Me, Fale, Carl Anderson was the only one that was getting paid big money, but me, Fale. Mm-hmm. Carl Anderson, Gallows, we were all broke. This is the beginning of Bullet Club in 2013. And I think Senda-san was trying to get us to come out with them. And he asked some worker at the arena that ran the arena. And he's like, hey, can you go get, can you find out what those guys are doing tonight? And the guy turned around and told him, don't worry about them. Why don't you grab some of the Japanese wrestlers?
Oh.
right?
Ooh. Okay.
So Senda-san got pissed off. He was like, you know, that's not cool. That's not cool at all. And this was 2013, you know? Mm-hmm. So he came out. He found us himself. He waited in the back and was waiting for us to jump the bus. And he cut in front of everybody and just came directly to us. He was like, hey, come out tonight. We'll come to your hotel. Come meet us after this. I'm going to take you guys out. And he told us what happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, all of us are like, those motherfuckers, fuck them, yeah. You know. But, you know, we're all talking shit, but none of us going to do nothing about that. So, you know, so he just showed his he just showed his heart, mm-hmm. you know, and I was just really appreciative. Me and Fala are like that, and even Gallows and Anderson. So we just every night from then on, Senda-san and his family, his wife and one son, they just took us every time we came to his city or anywhere. They would take trains or fly like 2-3 hours to other parts of Japan just to hang out with us, watch our show, hang out with us, take care of us. And this was on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And we grew tight like that to the point when Fale threw a show, a New Japan show out in New Zealand and started his dojo, Senda-san gave him money to help him start. He sponsored, you know, cash to start his dojo, flew over with his family mm-hmm. to his first show to show support. When I did the block party, he grabbed his family, flew over. And I was like, Steve, you remember that dude that took care of you when he came over? I was like, can you please, you know, we were getting ready for MSG. Steve went over, picked him up, waited for them, made sure that he picked them up, brought them, took them to the hotel. And that's that courtesy. That's that you know, you show them that you, no matter where they go, you were able to come in and take care of them because of the support that they give you. So, yeah, Steve knows, man. Steve knows how close I am with them.
Yeah, and I was hoping you'd want to tell that story, because what I was trying to get at with that trade-off is, you know, we had two levels of tickets for the block party. We had VIP and GA. But for them, there was the golden ticket.
We did it like a Willy Wonka's golden ticket, too.
Tama went out, got these printed up, did this whole nine, really made this a whole presentation. And so to me, I see that trade-off of you really do treat them like family, and you didn't trust anybody else to go get them but me. Yep. And I drove to JFK. I picked them up there, brought them back to the city, and they were so thankful that they had someone they could trust doing that. But when they got to the event, they were treated like family. They where the wrestlers were, they had we had a private area set up.
Bro, they were there. Bro, the wife, Satoru-san, she came out in full-fledged kimono. She dressed up in kimono in New Jersey for the block party. She dressed up through and through just to show, like, my mom was so impressed. My mom and dad were there, and my dad speaks fluent Japanese, so they were, you know, he was there talking with them. But my mom was so impressed that they came all the way from Japan, and she dressed up the way she did just to show support. And it made her like, wow, these, you know, this is, it's just different, man. Mm-hmm. It's so different.
Well, I feel like that, from what I've heard, that sounds indicative of the sponsor relationship. Because I think a lot of people hear it, they think it's this financial thing. They think it's, you know, someone who's going to finance the party. And sometimes it is. It's someone who's going to finance the party. But there's an emotional support to it. There's like this, mm-hmm. it almost becomes like a second safety net for the wrestlers. Because like in the way that, if this could come over to North America, I think it could change a lot of the game. Because it really, you've got these fans that are so invested in not just New Japan, but the talent themselves. Because this isn't, there are other wrestlers who also have these emotional connections with their, mm-hmm. their sponsors, who have this support. And so it becomes this way to almost like subsidize. Like you said, you can't, you would never have eaten in places like this without the sponsors. Right. You never would have seen some of these places, especially as a young lion, without the sponsor. And so it becomes, it almost sounds like, especially now they become like this unofficial like guide. Like, do you feel like the sponsor relationship has kind of opened up to foreigners, or is it still kind of that outsider?
No, it's definitely changed in the past 10 years. It changed drastically. It gets to the point now that even some like new foreigner wrestler comes in and you know, they get hooked up with like what I call fast ass sponsors. You know, mm-hmm. they're the ones who buy your gears and you know, and so they hook up with them and they take them out. Some nights, a lot of the boys know this. We in Osaka, there's this, what's his name? Damn. We got a sponsor that's, he knows when every foreigner is coming in, and he's tight. Like, he was tight with Elgin. He was tight with Ricochet, Juice, and Finley. And he's got them on, you know, he's got them on cell phone and be like, hey, when you guys come to the city, come with me. Let me buy some gear. I'll take you guys out. There's a trade-off, too, you know. Take some pictures with me, sign some stuff. He'll bring some of his buddies, like super fans, to meet them. So there's that kind of trade-off that happens a lot, you know. There's got to be a trade-off. But I like those sometimes, but yeah. I stay away from those because I like more meaningful stuff now that I'm older. Now that I'm older, when I was younger, I didn't give a damn. Anything free, all the alcohol, let's get with it.
Yep.
No, but now I just have a more appreciation for some of the fans and where my time is given to. You know, so
when you were kind of talking in the beginning about how like guys like Carl Anderson and Togi Makabe would be the ones to kind of introduce you to sponsors. Who are you like introducing to sponsors now? Because I feel like you're probably in a position where you can start like bringing some people out with you.
No, not really, because now I've cut down my sponsors. Okay. I stopped going out. You know, now that I'm well off. No, just kidding. I'm kidding, man. I'm just trying to be funny. That wasn't funny, but it's become, you know, I got a wife, I got a kid, and my nights are calling them, making sure that they're up. I wake them up, you know, talking to them in the morning. And so I no longer can afford to give out my nights like that. So there's only nights that I give out to is the close sponsors, which send us on the family sponsors. There's only like two or three now that I have, you know, from however many I had before that I really give my time, because that's just, I'm older. I'm tired. I don't want to stay out till 4, 5, 6 in the morning anymore. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be drinking all night, cause I got to work the next day. And you know, those I don't longer have the energy or stamina for that anymore. You know, maybe I'm growing up. I might be growing up, guys, but damn it. You know,
I would hope we're all growing. Let's face it. Well, whether we want to or not, we're growing up.
Right.
And I think that, the one thing I'm going to cut back a little bit, cause you said something interesting. I think either you or Ross said it. Do you think this is a concept that could work in America?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Through our Thomas Island, I can see that there are genuinely nice fans and really fans that can work.
Yeah.
You know, and I know they appreciate it. They're not not assholes, you know.
Yeah.
I think it can work. And I think it'll be meaningful. I think the block party was the beginning of us introducing that kind of style, you know. But I know that the block party was really major, you know, in that kind of party sense, you know. But you could see everybody got along and everybody had so much fun together. And everybody had respect for each other. Even the wrestlers were able to walk through everybody, chopping everybody, playing games. That's that kind of concept that we could all – you know, you still have that respect with each other, you know?
Definitely that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes it really is. It's just about taking out that however wide a merch table is, that's still a barrier. And so it does. And I think North American fans got so used to the merch meet and greet where you kind of shake their hand at the table. The idea of actually mingling, of actually hanging out is still very novel. And I think if North America wasn't in a position before to embrace sponsorship, post COVID, where everyone's ready for it. You're already seeing, there was a show in Indiana at the beginning of the month where they had sponsored wrestlers. Because they were trying to, you know, make back some money, you had one wrestler was brought to you by one fan, another wrestler was brought to you by another fan. And so you're starting to see rudimentary forms of sponsorship creep into America, but you're not seeing that Japanese style that you're talking about, it's like a foreign exchange program or something where you're really just taking someone in, even if it's just town to town, you're taking someone in, you're making sure that they that can get fed. What?
Yeah.
I feel like it takes an education though. I feel like, like you said, people are very used to the 30 second handshake photo, 8x10.
Yep.
And it will, even with the block party, I remember when we were writing the rules up for the floor, we had to put in there like, hey, if you see the guys on the floor, don't ask for pictures. They want to talk to you. They want to hang out.
Right. Yep.
That's not the spot to ask for pictures.
Yep.
And I think that might be one of those pieces you need, that step to, okay, this is a different setting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's flesh this out then. What is the etiquette? Let's go through the full rules. What's the etiquette to being with a Japanese sponsor? Like when you're meeting a Japanese sponsor for the first time, what are the things that you really are trying to focus on? What are the P's and Q's you're trying to mind?
It's that common like dinner courtesy, to courtesy. You sit still, you come in, the first thing that is brought out is beer, right? They'll ask you, even if you don't, having a beer in that culture is the proper, have a beer first, okay? And then after that, you can switch to your water or your tea or whatever. But really, like, so wrestlers will be there, you're sitting on the table, and you talk. Whoever's next to you, try to, like, make it a wrestler fan or a wrestler, wrestler. And then the other side is all the fans.
Okay.
And so all night, you're talking to somebody. But if there's somebody else on the other corner, about, like, halfway or quarter into the night or three quarters, you get up and then you switch so other people can get to talk to you. And so everybody gets a chance to talk to everybody, you know.
Gotcha.
Because they're there to see everyone, not just one person, you know.
And it's, so, I assume the sponsors are also kind of minding their own kind of etiquette, where because they don't want you to feel too out of place, or is it a little more, I don't want to say lawless with the sponsors, but are the sponsors a little more just allowed to?
Some sponsors maybe. I just never paid attention because I'm like, he's the money man, whatever he wants. So he's the boss of this whole thing, and it just depends who you're with, man. Everybody's different, and how they handle it, because you know, some nights they'll bring their kids, and so you're super like, you know, I try to talk to the kids any kind of way I can. A lot of them don't speak English, so whatever English, you know, the little hello or whatever little Japanese I can, anything to create that connection, and then just be polite and have them give them an experience, some kind of experience, you know, that they can remember. Because the more you get invited out to sponsorship with them, you know, so you got to be on your give and take, give and take. You're always performing. I don't want to say because that sounds fake, but you always got to be.
Yeah.
The life of the party.
Exactly. Life of the party. Yeah. Be cool. Just be cool, dude. Just be cool. All right.
Well, I listen. We've been talking about this for a while. I do have to bring this up before we close.
Mm-hmm.
There was a documentary that came out a few years ago before Prince Devitt went to WWE about his last run.
Yeah,
and there's a scene of a sponsor dinner,
and
some chops get served at it. So my biggest question is, what is the most interesting thing that you've seen happen that's safe for the podcast to talk about at a sponsor dinner?
Oh, shoot. Oh, man. Okay. I got to go through the
bank. I was going to say, you threw him for a loop with the safe for the podcast part.
oh, man.
Or make it unsafe. We'll just keep this for Patreon.
there's the chops. There's some nights there. It's ridiculous, bro. I'll come back with my hands swollen because it looks like a fat red glove. Because all I've been doing is slapping. I got to the point where I'd slap something and it would hurt here. The palm of my hand will hurt so bad. I'd slap somebody with the back of my hand. And that even is even worse because that's the thinnest skin.
Yeah, you're messing with the bone then.
Oh, man. But that's it, man. The chops can go on forever. And you get guys that come in and just want to get chopped. The whole night, sit there for like 20, 30 chops, just chopping them. I've got videos. And if you're in our Facebook group chat, on a Facebook, Thomas Island Facebook group, I'm going to post a video up there one of the nights that it was my turn to chop. And you just sit there and chop. That's what they ask for. Sometimes they ask, they'll pay to get chopped, you know, and that's my favorite though. You know, pay me for some pain.
Are they paying you per chop or per session of chops?
Yeah, but it depends. It's a bulk deal. You get two for one, you know.
You're not paying for the chops, you're paying for the time.
there's nice too, like the alcohol. Yeah. Like we get scared sometimes because some of the young boys get we think that they have alcohol poisoning.
Oh no.
But you know, because there's this fans that just want to take shots with you.
Mm-hmm.
There's let's take shots and shots and shots. And you're like, oh no, I got to work tomorrow. I got to do a drop kick tomorrow, guys. You guys are messing me up, you know? And what else?
I got to pounce on it. Cause you talked about the fact that they'll sometimes get the young lions just hammered. I'm not going to make you name names, but if you want to name a name, go for it. Has there ever been a situation where you're out with a sponsor and you just see a young lion get just belligerent? Well, not belligerent, but they're gone.
All the time. Like an everyday thing. Yeah. Oh, that's like every day.
Okay.
And that's just not with sponsors either. That's when we go out as wrestlers and we got mm-hmm. senpais with us. Freaking Jado was infamous for like hazing young boys. He hazed me. He would make me and Fale. Now Fale, they were scared to get him drunk because Fale's bigger than everybody. He'll slap everybody around. Yeah. But they weren't afraid to get me messed up, you know. But then after a while, after seeing me go crazy, sometimes they'll be like, "All right, we'll leave the Tongans alone. We'll get everybody else drunk." And so that was like the thing for a while. Hattori would be like, "Hey man, leave the Tongans alone, man. They beat everybody up, man." Yeah, man. So the drinking, man. Jado used to make. He used to make. So me, Evil, Time Bomb, Fale. Desperado, we were all in the same class mm-hmm. in a dojo. So every time there was dinners out, you know, Jado was there. We learned how to sell real quick. Like we act like we're taking a drink. So we get back there and act all drunk. Cause the more drunk you act, man, the more like messed up, they'll leave you alone. But sometimes Jado knows the game, man. He knows how to like master heater. He don't play, dude. He, mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love it because we did the dojo episode. We didn't really we touched on like the hazing will go on in the dojo. Yeah. We didn't talk about the kind of like outside, alcohol laden hazing that y'all will get into. Because like literally right now, I'm hearing the origin of the current version of Bullet Club. It's just Jado getting you and Evil hammered. Yeah.
that's another subject that was we can handle that. Let's talk about sponsors.
Yeah, let's get back to the sponsors because so like do you I want to get back to the idea of this kind of happening in North America. Do you have any fans near like the LA dojo right now that you consider like the sponsors or is
no there... hell no, no no they're not American not American fans is not the like they're not about that unless
gotcha.
That, you know, they're not,
mm-hmm.
they don't know about that. Like somebody who has money and he's a fan. I don't know if they understand about that kind of situation to take wrestlers out and
gotcha.
Take care of them. That's just mm-hmm. a Japanese culture altogether because that sumo does that, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just wrestling. It's sumo. It's baseball. Okay. It's the whole culture itself. Like,
do they do that with like musicians?
I'm sure, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. I do. We know a Polynesian musician in Japan. His name is Jay Ed. Yeah, he knows all about that. We take him with our sponsor sometimes. let me tell you something. I've seen guys get Rolex from sponsors. Rolex. Me, Carl Anderson, Fale. We were taken to a spa all day,
mm-hmm.
then taken to we rode a roller coaster ride. It was a theme park. And then we came back to a hotel, stayed there, and then went to their spa. They took care of us for a whole weekend. And this was Prince David's last tour with us in Japan before he left. So he took care of us. we were flown to Thailand by sponsors. We were flown to Taiwan. When we're in Taiwan, sponsors came in and took care of our dinner, everything, like mm-hmm. all you can eat crab, all you can eat. When we go to North Japan, there's an island in North Japan called Hokkaido, where they're known for their seafood crab. We get taken to all you can eat buffet of crab, and it's just all the time. I mean, one of my sponsors up there just sent clothes to my son. When he found out my son, I had a son, mm-hmm. he sent clothes from there. Japanese clothing, baseball, Japanese baseball team, the whole nine. That's that wow. kind of, yeah, bro. It's a different kind of culture. I love it.
Yeah,
love it. Yeah.
This is why, like, when Steve said the idea, like, I jumped on it as well. Cause, like, this is just, yeah. it's such a good idea, not just for wrestling, but for, like, just culture in general. Yeah. This idea that if you are a fan of someone, if you like yeah. someone,
yeah.
you can give back more than just buying a ticket. You can give back more than just buying a t-shirt. You can buy them a meal. You can buy their kids some clothes. It's like you keep bringing back to with Bullet Club. It's that us mentality. It's yeah. that even in Japan, where it's strangers who just love wrestling, there's still that community. There's still yeah. that bond there. And that's, I mean, like, for lack of a better word, that's beautiful. I mean, it's just, it's really, it's a level of support.
Humanity to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's an us thing. Beautiful yep. us thing, man.
Yeah. And I think if that could make its way over to America, I think it would change a lot of wrestling for the better. Cause, like, you think of, especially in the independent scene, the way some kids are really struggling, the way they are just barely making anything, like, yeah. they need a sponsor. They need someone to just give them right. a warm bed and a meal.
It's, America's just different.
Yeah.
America is traveling the world and seeing different cultures. America is a very let's get money type of mind, you know, and, yep. and it's all about me. I feel yep. like most times, my experience.
Oh, no.
Maybe my experience would change.
No, you're preaching to the choir. All my friends have 8 jobs. It's a hustler economy. We don't have time. We don't have time for anything else than just me.
Wow. Hey, are we good there? I feel like we can keep talking about this. I think
we're going to need to go back to it at some point and just do a whole, you know, hour of stories. Cause yep.
Oh, for sure.
I think we've definitely scratched the surface of something a lot of fun. I think this lived up to my expectations when I brought up the idea. So yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I've had a blast because, like, I'm literally learning about most of this as we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
And it's so fascinating. And I
definitely.
I definitely want to hear more stories. Like, I want to hear Carl Anderson's sponsor stories. I want to hear. It's a whole subsection we can have of Thomas Island now, or sponsor stories.
Yes, definitely. Look, hey, speaking of Carl Anderson, man, look, for everyone else, if you want to join us and ask Carl Anderson any kind of question, he's going to be our guest this Friday, this Happy Hour Friday. Mm-hmm. Come join us on Happy Hours at Thomas Island. All right, patreon.com/Thomas Island. Join us on the Islander tier, okay? And Happy Hour, ask him anything, all right? The good brother's going to be with us. He'll explain. We'll go more into depth with the sponsors, man. His experience, definitely he's got a lot of experience. And we'll talk some more. If you guys got any questions, join us at the Thomas Island Facebook group. Ask us questions or just join us at patreon.com/Thomas Island and ask us any questions you want. Guys.
Would it be safe to assume that he's going to be telling some stories that maybe wouldn't be on the podcast, but
oh, for sure, oh, for yeah. sure, oh, for sure, definitely.
You're not gonna want to miss this one. It's gonna be we've got some spots open. It's gonna be a supersized Q&A, yes. And I gotta believe it's not gonna be that safe for work.
Awesome, guys. Steve K, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for picking this subject. It was really fun to talk about this.
Thanks for having me.
Ross, thank you, man. Thank you for facilitating everything through here. We had a good time talking about this. You guys, join us on Facebook, Thomas Island Facebook group. Join us on patreon.com/Thomas Island. Take a listen to this podcast. Write a review. Good reviews only, okay? All right, you guys, enjoy your week. Have a safe one. We'll talk to you guys next week, all right? Thank you very much, guys.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.